cliffcentral.com.
As Wednesday rolls around again, we're back in studio with Animal Central. I'm Sharon Dale. Yeah, with my co-host. He's back this week.
Yes,
Jono, welcome
back. Thank you. So glad to be back.
I know. We lost you for a week.
Yes, I was standing in for the Drive Time show, but we're taking turns now while Ari Kalman is away.
Yes.
So this week will be Mike Flax, and the week after will be CSN.
Oh, well, their loss is my gain again.
Yes.
So I've got my co-pilot back again.
I can't exactly talk about animals on that show.
No, this is a nice change.
No,
it's going to be an excellent show today. Today we're talking about fish and we're talking about owls. So that is going to be very, very interesting. But before we get into it, there's this amazing competition going on right now. It's our WeChat competition, and it's all because cliffcentral.com is turning one. And to celebrate this, we're giving away R500,000 worth of smartphones. How cool is that?
Mm.
Wish I could get my hands on
one. Yeah, I wish we were allowed
to enter.
Yeah,
I know we're not allowed to enter. So how can you win one? You listen out for a question on Cliff Central, and then you submit your answer on WeChat. You just simply tap connect and then competition on the menu. And if you want an upgrade or need a new smartphone, we'll hook you up with the Samsung Galaxy S4. Which is an awesome phone. Mm. So win with Cliff Central and WeChat for this whole month of April. You can visit cliffcentral.com for more details. The question is, what is your favorite Cliff Central show?
This is a hard one.
I'm hoping a couple are going to say Animal Central.
Yeah, you'll probably be more likely to win if you say that.
Yeah. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more. Okay, so what is your favorite Cliff Central show? Send in your answer and you can win that awesome Samsung Galaxy S4.
Sit.
Right. So first up in the studio today, we have Tsepo Sabake, who is the manager, one of the managers of the National Council of SPCA Special Projects. He deals with aquaculture. Tsepo, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for hosting me.
No, it's a pleasure. We've been hosting various heads of department at the SPCA, and we're still going to continue because it's so important. So many people don't quite know what the SPCA does. They think it's dogs and cats in a shelter. But there's so much more that the SPCA does. And aquaculture, that is something you don't even think about. So that, this is the welfare of fish. Tsepo, am I right?
Definitely. Aquaculture is actually the farming of fish in general, different species of fish. But then now at NSPCA, we have a unit that deals with fish welfare.
Okay. That's very interesting. So fish welfare, I mean, is that fish in the wild, fish in your tank at home?
We deal with fish everywhere in the country.
Yes.
There's plenty markets where fish are used. We're talking about fishing bowls. We're talking about fishing.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about fish that's used in therapeutic procedures. You know, fish, kararufa, that's being used in
health spas. They take the excess skin off your feet. Hey?
Oh, there's those little fish that eat skin.
Yes.
Okay. That Kim Kardashian always does.
Yes.
Really? So that's big in South Africa.
It is. It is. It's a growing market and obviously it needs to be regulated.
Absolutely.
So we are doing that for the welfare of the fish.
Of the little fish?
Yes.
Are they used over and over again, these same fish? I don't know actually how it works.
The same fish are used over and over again until they start decreasing when they're dying off, and then they order more.
Yes.
So one client will get serviced by this fish in this tank, and then the next client will be serviced by the same fish in the same tank.
Mm. Oh, my word. And where are these specific fish? Where do they come from?
They are specific fish. They're coming from Middle East.
Yes.
They're specifically, the scientific name is kararufa.
Kararufa.
But yes, we've picked up that other people are importing a different species under the pretense that is kararufa for that for use in health
spas. For that purpose.
Yes.
And is it good for the fish to eat human skin?
It is not. It is not. The dead skin of a human being hasn't got any nutritional value
I would imagine.
To the fish. Okay. And we've picked up a few times that the possibility is that the fish are underfed so that they can
So that they're hungry.
Oh,
yay.
Gosh, that is terrible, hey? So they almost starve them so that when the person does put their feet in, they go crazy.
It's actually a little bit disgusting, hey, what people would do for, you know,
just go to make some money.
Go get a loofah, you know, and do it in your bath. But,
absolutely.
But you know, I wanted to find out as well, the fish that you see in pet stores and that people are keeping in their tanks at home, where do these fish come from, Tsepo? Are they bred? Or are these being stripped from the wild, from the east and the Amazon?
Because they are exotic fish. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. We have fish that are being bred in the country. Mm. We have fish breeders that deal specifically with ornamental fish. They're called ornamental fish, the ones that you just look at.
Yes.
Okay. And we have importers of species that are not originally from South Africa.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
Right.
Like, we have a lot of ornamental fish that's coming from the Lake Malawi that are being imported into
like
South
the
Africa.
Malawi cichlids.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Mm. I suppose all of the fish, when you go into a pet shop, none of those beautiful fish you see are from South Africa. I mean, even your goldfish, I don't imagine we get them naturally in our country.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So every basically domestic fish that we buy for our home as an ornamental fish is being imported.
Yes, most of them.
But are they mainly bred, or are they getting still stripped out of the wild rivers, out of, I think, Amazon, as you say, Lake Malawi? Are they being taken from the lake or initially, but now they're more being bred?
Yes, what mostly is done is that they would take what's called the broodstock. Now, that's the parents.
Right.
And then they will bring them into the country and start breeding them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're getting more offsprings that's been sold in the country.
Mm. Yes.
Okay. What is the issue, though, from the NSPCA's point of view? Is it that this is cruel? Is it that when they are being imported, it's not humane? What is the issue?
Okay. Importing of this fish, there is an element of cruelty to it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we get challenges at the airport that most of the fish arrive dead.
Oh, no.
Mm.
Okay. And in that period, if it's for the they die because of lack of oxygen, then just imagine how painful would be.
Yes, yes.
Okay. They're suffocating to death.
How would you import fish? I mean, do they come in bags? Do they come in sort of buckets? What?
They come in plastic bags and in a sort of a container that's enclosed in the bag.
Mm-hmm.
And in the bag, they put more of oxygen to
sustain them.
Yes.
Because it's interesting. Most people don't think about cruelty when it comes to fish.
Yeah.
I suppose, you know, we eat them. We think they're cold-blooded, so they don't have feelings.
Mm.
I mean, you often go into these fancy restaurants where they'll have a lobster, it's a crustacean, it's not a fish. But you'll see them in the tank and you'll see fish. You can choose your own fish to be. But I mean, there is something, you can be cruel to fish.
Yeah.
True. And we think it's wrong to have the fish displayed at those seafood restaurants.
Mm.
Because, first thing, the staff is not aware of fish husbandry to start with. There are people that's working in the restaurant,
right.
They don't really know much about fish, okay? Mm. They don't really know about the lobster.
Yes,
they don't really know about crustaceans.
And seeing a lobster is going to be eaten, they don't really try to keep it as comfortable as possible.
No,
I mean, they just see it as
it's food. Yeah, it's food. And when they put the lobsters live
into the boiling water, it's terrible. And apparently it actually screams, you know, when it goes in, like, oh.
Yeah, I think it's the scales or something like that. But Tsepo, what guided you to this? Have you always had an interest in fish, or how did you get here?
Okay, I had an interest in wild animals. Mm-hmm. Studied zoology and microbiology, but then after that, I looked at the fish industry.
Yes.
Okay, and then I thought I needed to study fish. Then I studied BSc honors in aquaculture.
Wow, fantastic.
And that's where I started, and then ended up working for the NSPCA.
Yes.
Because I saw the fish are not really taken care of like with terrestrial animals. The welfare of fish, a lot of people don't even think we should be considering that.
Mm.
And it's a wrong mentality. It's a wrong mentality. It's something that we need to educate the nation on it.
Yes.
That everything that's alive must be regarded just like any other thing.
Yes, be respected.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And do you also deal with sea fish and fishing?
Yes, we deal with that. Like I said in the beginning of the show, every single fish, we overlook in that.
Okay.
The fishing methods, the catching of wild fish, we're looking at that.
Yes.
We're looking at, we're trying to get humane methods to be used in catching of those fish.
Right.
Until the fish are killed and then processed. We're trying to get everything to be as humane as possible.
As humane as possible.
Just like everything that's done with the, for example, cattle. Cattle, they are reared, and then at the slaughterhouse, they're using only, in most cases now, with the laws that's there.
Yes.
Humane methods
it's more
to
humane.
Slaughter. The,
yes.
The cattle has to be stunned first, and then the throat cut. We're trying to get that as well in the fishing industry.
In the what would you prefer? That they stunned first?
And yes, then the yes. Fish. With different methods that's being used in other countries. We're trying to get that into our country.
And Sempo, tell me, in our country, our own indigenous fish that's in our lakes and dams, and what is the population like? I know that I think you're supposed to get a permit to go and fish, but I think most fishermen don't even do that. They just go and throw a rod in and catch. How's the population looking? Or have we got, again, exotic fish coming into our dams and rivers and killing our indigenous fish?
Okay, yes, we have many species of fish, a lot of them.
Mm.
There are those that's now the population is starting to decrease.
Right.
You know, at an alarming rate. But then we have those that's still in good standing.
Strong, yes.
We have catfish. It's indigenous, but it's still doing well.
Yes, like the barbel.
Yes.
Okay. And our fish that on the decline, what kind of species would that be?
I can't think of it at the moment, but we have a lot that's on the sassy list.
Okay.
They're listed, and then those are the ones that you really need to
protect.
Yes.
Yes.
You must think before you go and eat
it. And the same applies with, I know a lot of articles have gone out, sea fish, which fish you can eat comfortably and which are endangered.
Mm. Yes.
I don't know if that's helping at all. Do you also deal with fishermen? Especially on the coastal areas that fish without permits and I think abalone, I don't know if that's called a fish. I know that that's also been an issue.
That does fall under your jurisdiction. I mean, things like crustaceans and abalone and all that stuff. It's not just the fish.
It's not only the fin fish. So that we be specific and say fin fish or shellfish.
Shellfish.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Because now lobsters are also, I know a lot of people make their living out of going to catch lobster. I mean, how do you stop something like that? Because that's how they make their living.
Yes. Yeah. Our involvement at the moment is to comment on the permits, okay?
Right.
And get conditions for all the permits so that the fisherman, when he's granted the permit, he knows that he should be considering the welfare of the fish that he's taking.
Okay. Yes.
That's how we are involved with the permits and the catching of the fish by fishermen.
Yes.
Yes.
And I guess to educate them.
Absolutely.
To say if you really outfish all these lobsters and fish, there's going to be nothing left for anyone, so you will lose your income anyway. Mm. It's education is always the key.
But, I mean, it must be hard. I mean, let's get back to these domestic fish. I mean, it's not like you can sort of confiscate somebody's fish. I mean, if a dog were to be abused or a cat, you would go in and sort of take it away. But with fish, how do you classify this as cruelty? I mean, let's say someone's keeping a goldfish, for instance, in too small of a bowl. I mean, you'll never really hear about that as the NSPCA. But, I mean, if you were to, what would you do?
What we would do is we have powers to confiscate any animal.
Mm.
As long as we can take it out of the misery, we will do that. We have cases where we've went to places and because of, you know, we rely on the public
To report.
When we get a report that someone is ill treating their fish, we go out and sort it out.
And do you get many reports like that?
We starting to get that.
Oh, really?
Yes. People are starting to understand, you know, that we
this
need
is also
to
a living being that needs protection.
True.
Because and what are your thoughts on you see in all the pet stores they have these what are they called? Chinese fighter fish.
Oh, the Siamese.
Siamese fighter fish. And they're in tiny little blocks,
I've heard that they meant to be in those tiny things.
I mean what's
they
your
actually
thoughts?
Don't do well in a bigger tank, but I'm not 100% on that.
I don't agree with it. The fish were actually in nature. They live in...
Yes, they don't they live started in a tiny river. Cup,
okay,
no.
Okay, they were caught from the river. The river is not a size of
right,
a water bottle.
Right, mm.
Okay,
mm.
So that's not true. Mm-hmm. I disagree with
yes.
that. It's unacceptable. Mm-hmm. Fish need a bigger space. Mm-hmm. Fish need more water than what it's used at the pet shop.
Mm.
Sometimes mm. they keep them in those little boxes or bottles.
Yeah, sometimes even cups.
Yeah, yeah, because they're trying to save space, you know, to have more of the fish in the shop.
Yes.
Which is actually
so if a pet shop owner tells you they actually better off in there
to live in a tiny... Yeah, I mean, I saw the one that it was literally plastic.
Yeah, there's little
plastic
bowls,
cups.
Yeah.
No, you know, that you drink, cool drink out of. They were stuck in there, and then I was also told, no, they don't need a lot of space. Mm. And they're everywhere at the moment. It's
they're
a big
very
thing.
Popular fish, mm. those Siamese fighters, because they're also beautiful, like, you know, with those long fins and stuff.
Yes.
I see we've got some comments here on WeChat. Kimberly says, what a fishy topic on Animal Central today. Interesting and very informative, though. Good show, guys. Well, thank you,
Kimberly. Oh, that's wonderful. And then we've got Prabhashni, who says, love Animal Central. Thank you so much. Just entered the competition. Fingers crossed. I had goldfish, but they all died. Jono, missed you. Glad you're back. There you go.
Yay.
You have a fan. You have a fan.
Well, speaking about these goldfish, oftentimes when parents want to get their kid a first animal, they'll start with a goldfish.
Yes.
Because I think if it dies, it's not the end of the world to them. But I don't know. How do you feel about that? Like as getting a fish as sort of
a pet.
Introduction pet?
I think it's wrong. I think it's wrong to give, to start with, to give animals as gifts.
Yes, you're quite right.
Yeah, I know the SPCA is very against that.
You're quite right, yes.
And also, you know, choosing an animal because one doesn't get to be too attached to it as a gift so that it dies and then...
Yeah, people see it as if the fish dies, it's not that big of a deal. But whereas the dog dies, it's a big deal.
True.
And Sepa, do you also monitor the pet stores? Because you get pet stores that have wonderful fish display cases and everything. But you get others that are very dodgy. Do you monitor how they keep these fish?
Yes, we monitor the whole SPCA as a movement is monitoring the pet shops. Each and every... local society that's got a pet shop in their area of jurisdiction, they do regular checks at those pet shops.
Oh, okay. So if you go in and you would have a look, if you're not happy, what happens? Do you give them a warning, a time to, you know, improve the situation? Yeah. Or how does it
Some
work?
Some education,
yes.
maybe.
Yes, it depends on how big the problem is. You know, sometimes you need to educate rather than just go straight and... prosecute.
Straight for the kill.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's, yes. Our aim actually is to educate the nation.
Yes.
You know, as to how to take care of these animals.
Yes.
Were you to
sense.
Confiscate these fish? I mean, would they eventually be placed up for adoption? As
yeah, where do they go?
Yeah.
If you confiscate.
I mean, it's not like when you go to the SPCA, you see fish there that
you can
adopt.
You can go and adopt. Can you go and adopt a fish?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, with fish, it's very difficult to find someone that's going to come and adopt
take them
it
over, right?
And convincingly tell us that they're going to take good care of us. Okay,
yes.
It's a specialized thing to take care of fish. That's why we have a reader or a listener here that says she had goldfish, but they all died.
Yes.
And we've all been there. I mean, you buy, especially goldfish, with the best of intentions, and you're so excited, but it just takes one small thing to go wrong. The water temperature, when you're cleaning the tank. And, I mean, you don't mean to kill them, but they are very easy to sort
of... But I think that's what you say every day, every week in our show. That's all animals. It's not that easy. You don't just go and adopt an animal, whether it's a fish, a hamster, a hedgehog, a snake. Bring it home, and it's just going to live. It needs temperature control, food control, exercise. And if you don't do that, it's going to die.
True.
Yeah, people just go and get something because they want.
But oftentimes, I think pet shops will just sell you stuff knowing that it's going to die. For instance, they can see that this is the first time this person has a fish tank. These are sort of warm water fish. They know though these fish are going to be dead in a week, but they'll still sell you the fish.
And I don't think the staff at pet shops, by and large, are educated enough. You go and you can I have those two Siamese fighters? Sure. The guy's not...
They're not going to turn down a sale.
He's not going to... And maybe he doesn't know himself how to take care of them. So they don't educate the people that buy from them. You know, so now, Tsepo, I see also you you work with fish farms.
Yes.
Tell us about, are there a lot of fish farms in our country?
We have a lot of fish farms in our country. Mostly they are emerging farms. Okay. The government is now injecting money into aquaculture.
Right.
Development of aquaculture in the country. Okay. And we are involved in the development of an aquaculture bill, which is actually another part of developing that sector.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, there's a lot of them. That's
what does this bill sort of aim to achieve? Is it better conditions for the fish, or
there is a section, yes, within the bill, but it's mostly regulating the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the industry at the moment is, if not regulated, the regulation is much minimal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So now the bill is to regulate the industry, what's to be imported, what can be released,
mm-hmm.
who needs what permit to have which species, things like that. But then we are hoping that with this bill, we're going to have a good section where the animal welfare, the fish welfare, is going to be taken into consideration.
Yes.
And then be able to be enforced.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And educational at the same time, mm-hmm. to the fish farmer.
Yes.
So that at the end of the day, the nation knows that whatever the farming, everyone that's farming, they know this is how I should be keeping my fish.
Right.
I should be considering the welfare of the fish.
Well, a lot of these products are sort of advertising like dolphin-friendly tuna.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose if they were to sort of oblige by this regulation, then they can sort of advertise that on their packaging. Like these fish are bred in.
Feel better, yes.
Yeah,
yeah. So, but what kind of fish are they farming? Are they freshwater or saltwater fish?
Okay, they farming freshwater fish. They're farming saltwater fish.
Okay.
There's many saltwater fish farms that's operating along the coast. Okay.
Right.
Big ones are in the Eastern Cape. We have freshwater fish that's been farmed and in the inland.
Yes.
So yes, it's both. It's both. And different species. Remember, we have plenty species of fish.
Sure.
Yes.
Sure.
So there's more than five that's of interest to people.
I just see Cam has just sent us a message as saying she's seen some crocodiles and snapper turtles being sold at pet stores. I mean, yeah, it is madness. She says it's madness. I agree. We were talking earlier about what you can get at pet stores these days, and people just go and buy them. They end up, they cannot. In the news this week, I don't know if you saw, they found two pythons. Huge pythons. The one was found in a rubbish dump. What do you call one of those garbage disposable tins? Massive thing. Someone had hit it over the head, and they're not sure if it's someone that just couldn't care for it anymore, killed it, or whether it was one that was released in the wild and people are scared of them and killed it.
It's very disturbing.
It's disturbing. It really is. And you go to any store and you can pick up an anaconda you can pick. But anyway, we're talking about fish today. Tell me something, Barbel. I know that I once went to Sterkfontein Dam. There were so many barbel. It was during breeding time. There were so many barbel. And is a fish like that not something, you know, this country, we need food. People need food. Are you in favor of farming fish like barbel to feed people with?
We understand that the nation needs to eat.
Yes.
That the nation needs to be fed. As long as everything is done in a humane manner, then there's nothing wrong with it.
Okay.
From the breeding
to
the product.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. It must be done as humane as possible.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. And I think fish is such a sustainable thing. I mean, if we did it properly, we could really sustain that sort of, what do you call it, that industry. But I also find, I don't know, I sometimes think it's cruel when people go fishing for the sake of fishing. So you go fishing, but not to eat the fish.
Well, so catch and release. That's the best way.
But I mean, what is the point? I mean, you're catching a fish, you're putting it under that stress. only to throw it back in.
Mm. I don't think we'll ever understand the mind of the fisherman. Yeah. It's an obsession and a hobby that I
have friends who do this, so I'm not by any means judging people. I just don't see the point. I understand if you're fishing for your livelihood, for your food, but just to fish and throw it back, I mean,
and take the picture.
That's the same way we see it, that if you're going to fish to feed yourself, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. We will advise you on how to slaughter the fish in a humane way. Okay. But if you're fishing for sport or for fun, then there's something
you're not
wrong.
For that. Yes.
So even catch and release, you're not in favor of that.
No, catch and release, it causes a lot of pain
stress,
to the animal.
Yes.
Yeah,
stress.
Having that hook in your mouth.
Yes.
And, I don't know. Hey,
absolutely. And I think, you know, going back to fish in the home, it's become huge. And let's face it, it's beautiful.
It is.
I don't
so
know
relaxing
if you've
to watch
ever
a fish
watched,
tank.
Absolutely. If you've ever watched the program called Tanked.
Oh, yes.
On DSTV.
They do incredible things on that show.
Well, they do these amazing type of these fish tanks in various shapes and sizes. Mm. They do it all in shopping malls, doctor's offices. They're absolutely beautiful. And there's nothing more beautiful than a sea fish. But they're very costly. I see that it's very expensive to buy a saltwater fish. But I see a lot of places are also now selling coral, live coral. Mm. Is that also something that you monitor, stripping of coral?
No, that we don't monitor.
Okay.
No, we don't. We're limiting ourselves.
Yes.
To animals.
Yes,
well,
right.
Coral is actually a living thing, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. It's not just it's not just a rock at the bottom of the sea. It's actually a living organism.
But you can breed them. I know we've got a pet store near us. There's actually two, and they've all got these big tanks of coral. Mm. And the most beautiful sea fish. But again, education, because it takes a lot to look after them. It really does.
Just
and it costs.
Coming back to this fishing thing, I notice a lot of fishermen, I mean, it is a pride thing. You catch a big fish, but then they'll keep the fish out of water for so long while they take the photo, while they show their
measure
friends.
Measure it, weigh it.
While all the kids are touching the fish. I mean, it looks horrible. I mean, this thing is out of water.
It is. Yeah. And sometimes they take it out of the water for a very long time, you know, to take pictures and...
And you mentioned killing it humanely. So let's say you are catching a fish for food.
Yes,
what is humane? How should you kill the fish? I mean, do you bash it over the head with a rock? Do you let it suffocate? I mean, it all seems so cruel.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to say it on the line or on air. You know, it might come across wrong to other people.
Okay,
but I mean, the reality is, if you're going to eat the fish, you have to kill it.
And
what is, I mean, for the suffering of the fish, what is the best way to kill it?
The best way is to get the fish stunned. Okay. There is clove oil. Clove oil works best. Okay.
Clove
oil, yes.
Really?
The one that's used when one's got a toothache.
Yes,
okay?
Yes.
They put the fish in water mixed with clove oil. And then it stuns the fish.
Okay,
really?
And then?
That's interesting.
And then now the fish can be bled out.
Right,
okay.
Right.
And then it will die humanely.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I'm just seeing Mfundo and Ladla saying, learning a lot about fish here. Before the show, I knew zero. So you see, we are educating the public.
No,
we definitely are.
I think fish are often overlooked as real animals.
They certainly are. Tipo, now... If you want to eat fish and you want to go and buy in the store, what should you not be buying that's endangered? I know Jonathan was saying the dolphin friendly, but is something like hake okay?
Hake is okay. There's a sussy list. There's a list of species that's endangered, and there's species that list explains everything.
Right.
What can be eaten and what can not be eaten, you know.
I think you can find it on the internet.
Yes,
what is it called? The
Sassy, SASSI.
Yes, that's it.
For one to access it, you must go to www.sassy.co.za.
SASSI.co.za. And then you can have a look there and see what you should be eating and what you should stay away from.
And also, WWF. It lists, it will give one the list of the species that's according to SASSI,
No, absolutely. So if people, I mean, can people help you? Do you look for donations? Can people get involved? How would they get hold of you if they need help?
Okay. People can contact us to give us help. You know, donations, always welcome.
Yes, because you're not government funded.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. They can go to our website, which is nspca.co.za, okay, or call us on 011-907-9035.
Perfect, perfect. Sepo, thank you so much for coming in today, and thank you for speaking for those that not many people care about. You know, they see them as food sources. So bless you for all you're doing for our little swimming friends.
Yes, no, it's an important job.
Yeah. It's a very important job. Well, well done. All right, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to be back to talk about owls.
Cliffcentral.com.
And we're back after that amazing interview. We were just saying it's so wonderful to meet people with such a passion.
And the response on WeChat has been amazing. Really are interested in fish and love fish.
Yes. Eh?
So I'm really happy to see that. Like,
no,
that's response.
Very, very cool. We love having people interact with us and send us messages.
And, you know, it can't only be the questions that you and I want to know. I mean, people must send their questions.
Absolutely.
Get them in.
No, absolutely. And now we're going to move on to something also very, very dear to my heart, because I absolutely love owls, and we've got Brendan Murray from Owl Rescue Centre. Brendan, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome. Hi, sure not, Johnny.
Very, very important subject. We've often mentioned it on the show. We've spoken about the rat population and the misconceptions about owls and that sort of thing. And even before the show, we were talking about the misconceptions that people still to this day see owls as bringers of misfortune or death. Is that true, Brendan?
Yeah, I mean, that's a myth that's been going on for hundreds of years.
It's, yes.
It's a colorblind myth. Everybody from all over the world are still afraid of owls.
Mm.
And it's a fight that we have every single day with a lot of people. And it's something that we educate people. And every generation is going to get better. And within the next three or four or five generations, as long as we can look after the owls until such time, and then that fear will be gone. Yeah,
because it's an old wives' tale. I mean, I've even heard it. If an owl sits on your roof, someone's going to die in your house. I mean, I love it when an owl sits on my roof.
It's funny.
I see it as good luck.
We get so many calls for that. I mean, that's 90% of our work is that, getting the call. Owls on the roof.
Please come
and take it away. But the funny thing is, we've put up thousands of owl boxes around the country, and of all the owl boxes that are occupied, you know, people love the owls. Nobody's ever come to me and said, "Oh, you know, the owls moved in and somebody died." Of all those thousands of owls, one person has, you know, the owls have never been blamed for a death.
So it's insanity to think that.
In some cultures, owls are good luck charms, you know.
Yes.
So that's what, rather, owl is a good luck thing to have an owl there.
No, I firmly believe that. We live in Little Falls, and we used to have so many owls around there. We do occasionally, we have one specific one that comes and sits in our trees. We have quite a busy garden and comes and sits there. We know he's there because the birds in the area all go crazy. And then you look out and there he's sitting, and we take pictures out the windows. But are they on the decline, Brendan?
Certain species are. But you take what urban owls, which is mostly what we get, which is your spotted eagle owl, your barn owl, and your marsh owls. Marsh owls are going to be threatened. You know, it's just the time of the night that they hunt. Where they hunt on the side of the roads.
They become roadkill.
And the areas that they hunt, where they are, so they're always finding, like, Mpumalanga. You know, majority of our marsh owls are Mpumalanga. Unfortunately, you've got all the mines there, and those mine trucks are running 24 hours.
Oh, okay.
So they decimate the owl population.
Oh.
Our other owls, which are spotted eagle owls and barn owls, their populations are doing quite well, but the mortality rate is exceptionally high. You're always seeing these dead owls on the road. But I mean, like I said, we've got many owls making use of owl boxes. It's a nice, safe, secure area for them. Barn owls, and also a lot of people we're educating people about barn owls. So when owls move into people's properties, a lot of people say, okay, it's actually not such a scary bird.
It's going to keep your rat population.
Keep your rat population.
It's going to bring you good luck, and it's going to keep down your rat population.
So that there. Worldwide barn owl numbers are declining. But the 6 years that we've been in Gauteng, and that I've seen an increase in the barn owl population.
Oh, that's good news.
So in some areas it might be going down, but in Gauteng definitely.
But
definitely.
They don't sort of have any natural predators. Owls. I mean, nothing really hunts them.
Besides other owls, yeah.
Oh, really?
Not in urban areas. No, they don't. Their goodies are cars. The biggest thing is cars,
fencing, humans.
And obviously rat poison and humans. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's an important thing. People poisoning rats and poisoning pigeons which then affects the owls.
Yeah, that's what we say. There's no such thing as rat poison. It's poison. Poison doesn't discriminate. Poison kills everything. And unfortunately, owls like rats, and rats like to eat poison.
And if there's a sickly rat or a rat that is already dead, would the owl go for it? I mean, if
yes,
it would eat it.
It will. Mm. And you see, with the new type of poisons, it's a multi-feed poison, you see. Mm. So the rat doesn't eat it and die straight away. He eats it from 3-4 times before he dies. So that rat's running around 3-4 days with poison in his body.
Right.
So if you, let's say a barn owl family lives in a workshop.
Yes.
His primary food source is the rats that live in that workshop.
Yes.
Oh. All those rats are now getting poisoned. Mm. And he's eating all those poison rats.
And does it kill him? Does it kill him or make him sick? Or?
Yeah, no, it kills him.
It kills him.
You know, I suppose it's not a pleasant death. I suppose it's painful. Yeah.
No, most of them are anti-oxidant. If it's, and it, they bleed to death.
They bleed out.
They bleed out. Yeah.
Oh, so I mean, the rat poison. Humans also. He was talking about the fear. Do they still? I mean, I heard of a case a couple of months ago where these kids shot the owl with a what do you
BB
call
gun,
one of those BB guns? Yes.
You know, the thing is with owls is that they. That's why we look after owls. It's an urban raptor, and they're so easily accessible because, you know, you're not going to get a fish eagle moving into your roof or a battelier or a marshall eagle, but an owl is going to come and stay there, you see. And his babies are there, so it's easy to climb up in the roof and get access to these birds. We put up owl boxes, and if you can climb a tree, you can get up to them. But if they don't use the owl box, they're going to use your gutter, or they're going
to
just, you know, come breeding season. I have to lay my egg somewhere, so I'm going to find the best spot. So.
But now, someone like me, I would love to have more owls in my garden. Mm. You're talking about the owl boxes. Tell us about that.
Well, what we do is we install. I mean, you can buy an owl box at most nurseries. You can get an owl box. But specifically for spotted eagle owls, which is, like I said, which is very common in suburbs in South Africa, put up a box. It's a nice, safe breeding spot for them to breed in. Yeah, because otherwise, spotted eagle owls usually would nest on a cliff face, or if they don't, we find them nesting on somebody's driveway. They'll literally lay their eggs on a sand driveway. They'll lay their eggs there. Yeah, if they don't have.
But if you were to put up an owl box, there's no guarantee an owl's going to move.
No, because you must remember the owls are still territorial. Okay. So their territory is. It's X amount. So if a whole lot of houses put owl boxes up, one or two of you are going to get owls, but the other 10 are not.
Okay, so it's not a case of build it, it will come.
No, it's sort of like of the draw, yeah.
But also, I wonder if other birds ever move in there.
We have Egyptian geese, love them.
Oh, right.
And a few other birds.
So you'll get some.
We had crows less than I know. Some people don't like crows.
So if I get one, it's not a guarantee that I'm going to have an owl family.
No, there's no guarantee on it. No,
but are the odds good?
But it's
at least.
The odds are good. The education is great because people. I put up an owl box. Everybody comes and what's it? That's for the owls, and then you're just more, you're more aware of what's happening.
Yes.
You know, so when you're going to see, you know, there's the whole thing. People say, oh, you know, I saw an owl in the road and I saw it and I don't like owls, so I drove and I tried to get it. You know? We hear that story all the time, you know. And people with kids with pellet guns.
Yes.
But a kid with pellet gun will shoot any bird, not necessarily an owl.
That's true.
So, but if people are going to go and spend the money on an owl box, they're not going to go and try and drive over an owl then. So there's a lot of education in it as well.
Is it a specific box or can anybody, I mean, if you're living out in the rural area or whatever,
can you make your own?
Yes, I mean, effectively – It's just a box.
It's just a
safe thing that's upstairs.
Do you put it up high?
Yeah, the higher you go, the more success you got. But don't go too high because, especially with that owl species, they jump out. The babies jump out within 5 weeks.
Yeah, so
and
you don't want that.
So if you're 20 meters up a tree, chances are the owl's going to hurt himself when it jumps out. So like 6-7 meter mark is ideal.
What is the lifespan of these owls that live in our urban area?
Well, you take a spotted eagle owl in the wild, should live to about 15 years. But in urban areas, it's about 2-3 years because they don't. Well, it is that way because I gauge it on people phone us. They're so excited, owls are moving into the owl box. And usually within 2-3 seasons, the owls are gone. And
why is that?
Cars. The biggest
cars
thing is
again.
Cars, electric fences. They don't see. You must remember when they hunt at night. They're hunting at night, and a lot of their hunting is on hearing, it's not on sight.
Yes.
So they hear a rat or a mouse or a snake. So they fly for it, but if there's electric wires everywhere, they fly straight into it.
And that would kill them as well.
Well, they break their wings off, and then they'll go sit somewhere. And if nobody finds them, and 99% of them are never found, they'll just die there.
So that is what Owl Rescue does.
We go out and rescue.
You
owls
go out and rescue owls.
Yeah.
How many do you have at the moment?
We don't keep owls.
You don't keep them.
No, what we do is we We go out, we do the education, like I was explaining to you with owls moving into people's houses.
Yes.
Factories, they love, especially barn owls, love moving into factories. Okay. And obviously because of the superstition there, people phone us and say, listen, my factory staff don't want to come to work because there's owls in there. So we just come, we just do a bit of education, and then we'll put up an owl box that the owls are now safe to, and then explain to them that they're yet to keep care of the rats, and the owl poses no threat to you.
Yes.
That's what we do most of our time. So it's basically, when I say relocate, you're basically moving the owl a few meters or to a tree outside or to a neighbor's property. We don't like to take owls away out of their territory because that is their territory.
So you simply would relocate
just relocate them to
or hopefully educate the people to let them stay.
Most of the time the education works. Sometimes they just go, sorry, that's not going to work. Then you just go speak to the neighbors. And I've never not found a neighbor that didn't want owls in their property.
Absolutely, yes.
So you take a box, put it up in a tree or a building, move the babies, put them in the box, and within 2-3 hours, the mom and dad are in the box. Yeah. Mm. We just monitor it for the next few days to make sure that they've been fed. And yeah, we go to the next
one.
And
that's where they are.
Do you ever have to sort of deal with injured owls and you have to sort of bring them back to health?
Yeah, we do. We work with a lot of other rehab centers as well. Okay. So if we get too many injured owls, then that do help. We've got some really good vets that we work with as well. So,
Let's say you find an owl that is injured. Should you approach it? Do they bite? What is the...
Mostly if an injured owl, he generally feels relatively sorry for himself. So you can just go and, you know, pick him up, put a blanket, just put a towel over him and put him in a dark box and then no interaction with the owl. Because people always think that the owl... If you find an injured owl, he's lying down and he's not saying anything. And then people say, oh, I'm going to keep him as a pet. So that's the worst. You get a lot of those that... Harry Potter did that for us, unfortunately.
I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure.
People wanted them as pets.
People want... Yes. And every single day, we'll get between 5 and 10 emails, phone calls, where can I buy an owl from? Where can I get an owl? And then we'll explain to them why it's a bad reason. And then they'll go, okay, well, you don't sell owls. Where can I go buy an owl from then? You know?
And is that a problem, Brendan? Do you have people breeding them as pets?
No, what they do, they don't breed them. They steal them out of the nests.
Oh, no.
So they take them as babies, and then they sell them on the side of the road. And or on OLX or Gumtree, you will see the ads.
Are you serious?
And they sell them for between 300 and 800 rand an owl. People buy them because they say, how cool is it to own an owl?
To own an owl.
And then, you know, the reality sets in that this thing, it's got to be fed, you know, it's got to be fed. It can't be fed any beef products, nothing from a cow. So it's got to be fed mice or chicken or insects. And then you keep it for 3 months, and then it's not a pet. It's not a domestic animal. It smells bad. If it gets an opportunity, it's going to claw, you know, it's a wild animal.
Mm, sure.
So, then people, they say, okay, then they come to us with this half-tame owl.
Oh.
And then you have to release this owl. Yeah. So it's not fair for the owl because it's now not so scared of humans, which is always a bad thing.
Yes,
to tame.
So owls are strictly meat eaters. No fruit, no seeds, no.
No seeds. But I do get that quite often. I've tried bird seed. We had one the other day, actually, a funny story. A lady phoned me and she said she bought an owl. This was on Sunday night.
Mistake number one.
She phoned me at 10 o'clock and she bought an owl. And, outside the police station, the guy was standing at the gate of the police station. He had 5 barn owls and she bought this owl. And she said, and I said, okay, now is it a baby owl? No, I'm not quite sure. It was the smallest one of the lot. I said, did you feed it? I gave it bird seed. But she says, no, but it didn't eat the bird seed. So I Googled it and I said, eat chicken. So I went out on Gumtree. I bought a baby chicken. And it ate the chicken. I gave it a live chicken, which is legal. You're not allowed to do that. Gave it the live chicken, and it ate the chicken. So she says, I said, okay, but now you need, a barn owl will, especially a juvenile, eat about 5 chickens a night. So you need to go buy more. She goes, that's a bit of a problem because this owl's obviously costing me money, you see.
Mm.
So then she phones me back about 20 minutes later, and she goes, no, you really, really need to come and take this owl away. So I said, she says, it smells really bad, and I don't like it. So I go, why? Then obviously try and explain, owls aren't evil. And she goes, no, it ate my parakeet.
Oh, no.
So then how did it eat your parakeet? No, well, I know
the same cage.
Yeah, I know where to keep it, so I put it in the same enclosure with the parakeet.
No.
It was a funny story. I mean, the poor parakeet. She says, all that's left is the 2 feet to the parakeet.
I mean, it's sad, but it's funny.
It is funny.
But it happens all the time, though. Yeah, that is what happens. People get owls, and they'll feed them husky dog food or mince and nothing from a cow. Owls don't eat anything from a cow. There's no calcium in it. It's not good for them. It kills them, yeah.
And as you say, they eat live food when they're hunting naturally, illegal for us to feed live food.
I mean, is it only illegal to feed an owl live food? Because when you feed snakes and stuff,
it's illegal.
It's illegal to feed any live, even a cricket. You can't even feed a cricket to an iguana. It's illegal. Well, nothing.
I wonder
nothing
why that is.
These aren't wild animals. So that, you know, in the wild, an animal would, let's say for instance, an owl in the wild will know how to kill a rat very within quick a split and second. Humanely, yes. But if you keep a tame owl and you feed him mince, and then you go give him a live rat, he doesn't know which side of the rat he should be biting, and obviously
so
the rat's
going to die with pain.
The rat's going to die a nasty death. Yeah. Yes. And it's right through up to years ago. People used to feed donkeys in the lion box. You used to go and they used to drop off a live donkey and then watch the lions. These weren't wild lions, you know. And then the donkey.
It's amazing what amuses
but
human
that,
beings.
In the '70s, '80s, that's what people used to. So they obviously just put blanket ban. No live feeding.
And now you were saying earlier there was. I read in the paper that there were organizations trying to get owls into areas like Alexandria and Soweto. And is that a good idea? Does it help the community? Or is that to reduce the rat population?
Yeah, the idea is great. You're going to release owls there. But unfortunately, you're releasing owls into an area where people generally don't like owls.
Mm.
So you can go there and you can do education to a few of the school kids and a few of the schools. But you're not getting to the majority of the people.
Yes.
And we often get called out to areas like that to go and fetch owls. And a lot of the time, if they're not killing the owls, they're selling the owls. You must understand, a barn owl can have up to 10 babies at a time. If you can get 500 rand a barn owl, there's 5,000 rand. It's quite a lucrative market there. So it's not in the best interest of the owl. And obviously the anthropology side is rather educate the people. We're not there yet. It's just not it's not.
Yes, it's not a good idea. But I was seeing that you've got this wonderful lodge, bush chalets, that you've actually put up. Tell us about that.
Well, what we do is we've obviously been running for a few years, so we've always tried to fund what we do. And you go out and you ask corporates for donations, and then it's what are you going to use the money for?
Right,
so we
say, okay,
so we stopped asking for money. Then we asked for building materials. Rather give us, you know, our boxes are made out of wood. So if you've got any old pallets or building material, we can use that. And that's also a little bit difficult, you see. So we thought we have to fund it ourselves.
Yes.
So we acquired this property. It's a bush lodge. It's got some chalets and some tented camps. So people come stay there, and we do education on owls and we do education on snakes. We've got the vultures living on the top of the property.
Oh, wonderful.
We have 600 Cape vultures there. So we do hikes against the vultures.
600 Cape vultures?
Yeah, 600 Cape vultures, yeah.
Because they're also endangered, aren't they?
Seriously.
Very endangered.
Very endangered, yeah.
Gosh.
So, I think we should just address the loud noise we're all hearing.
Yes.
They're doing some drilling on our roof. So if you're hearing a loud noise, that's what it is.
It's on the roof. Don't I was wondering where it was coming from.
it's a terrible thing.
But I also see you have all these wonderful things, you know, that people can get involved. I mean, obviously, you also don't get funding from government, so you rely on the public to help.
Yeah,
and
you do.
Events.
We do get donations every now and again. We do.
Yes.
And most of our donations goes to fuel. Our diesel bill is extremely high
because
we drive these two old Land Rovers all day long.
Mm.
So that's always nice. But building materials, if people got wood and that, they're always welcome
that's
to
what
donate.
That's what you
but
need.
But the lodge, people are welcome to come stay. They can join up
I
as
see
members.
You offer like a membership thing.
Yes.
People can join then once
yes,
a year.
Yes, yeah, then you join up, then you get free accommodation, mm-hmm. and
that's
it's
awesome.
Really in the, it's sort of it's a really remote bush lodge. There's a lot of wildlife there. People come there just to.
But no, what do the volunteers actually do? Should someone volunteer at the lodge? What are they going to do?
We've got lots of jobs for them to do, you know. But when I say it's a little bit of work, but a lot of other things. It's hiking. Mm. We work with a lot of other experts as well on snakes and that. So we go out looking for snakes. We've got a bat cave there, so we go look for identify bats, and we obviously go look for owls. Mm. And then work building enclosures, building owl boxes. We do the catch and release rat traps, so people can you know help us with that. So, but then there's a lot of fun as well. We've got a huge heated swimming pool. So. And it's very social now.
So, I mean, I was looking here. I think the membership is 200 rand a month.
It's 250 rand a month.
250
yeah.
or 24. I don't know if that's changed, which includes monthly events, hikes to observe a vulture colony, nighttime safari walks, bird talks, reptile shows. And this is a lot of fun I mean, I think it would be great instead of your child. Mm. Do you take teenagers? Can teenagers
we get a lot
come
of,
and
like biology classes were coming.
Yes.
And last weekend we had 42 of the scouts that came and stayed there, and they came and helped us build a donkey to fire donkey to heat up the showers. And it's just practical things that we get
so
to do.
Because so many teenagers, you know, and parents don't know what to do with their kids during school holidays.
That's right, yeah.
How wonderful.
It's very
would
affordable.
It be?
I mean, it's very, very cheap. We've got a huge a bush camp that they can stay in that accommodates up to 60 people on that side.
Yes.
It's, you know, they love it. Yeah. It's just
where
to,
is
to
this,
get to people.
Brandon?
It's 8 kilometers from Hartbeespoort Dam.
Oh, it's a lovely area too. Yes, it's a lovely area. No, absolutely. I think it's a great idea to, I think it'll also help to get your children to understand the animal kingdom and to form that passion that we've seen so many of our guests. It all stemmed from somewhere. Yeah. In their life.
It started somewhere. But you seem very optimistic about the state of owls in South Africa. You don't seem concerned. Is there a crisis regarding our owls?
No, I don't. Like I said, it is what it is. Owls are always going to get killed on the roads. We're not going to change it. So we just got to educate. But once people love owls, then they're not going to, then they're going to be a little bit more wary to slow down and not, not injure owls. Mm. But I don't think it's a reason for concern. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think other raptors are under way more stress than what owls
than
are.
Than the owls are.
Such as what? Sorry, Sharon, to interrupt you. Like, what other raptors?
Well, I mean, you take, for instance, like crowned eagles, I mean, it's their habitat has been destroyed. Mm. And that's because their territories are so huge, and you destroy their habitat. Those birds, I've got bigger strain. Spotted eagle owls, we got a road in Bryanston where in one road we got 4 breeding pairs of spotted eagle owls.
Really?
Literally 2 kilometer road, yeah. Mm. Majority of our spotted eagle owls, and I mean, it's hundreds of breeding pairs are in the Sandton Bryanston area. So, no, their population
that
is
very, good. Very good news.
Because I understand we are dealing with mostly urban owls. Yes. Your other owls, obviously, like your grass owls, your Pell's fishing owls, their territory is obviously under stress for as farmland encroaches on their property. Mm. They would be a bit more under stress. Yeah.
It's also in the wild. We were talking about keeping down the rodent population. It's also, I think a lot of people are more scared of snakes than they are of owls. And owls also keep down the snake population. Is that not
true? Yeah, an owl, if he sees a little snake there, you'll definitely, we see the owls will take a snake for sure. I mean, they will take, if it's smaller than them, I can overpower it and I can eat it, I'm gonna take
they
it.
Can
but
take
obviously,
it.
If snakes we need though, so it's not, I don't promote, it's not encouraged. I don't encourage owls to eat snakes at all.
Sure. But the other thing that you do were these owl friendly rat traps. Instead of using poison, which is going to kill everything.
Yeah, see, even with people with owls, I mean, owls are pretty tough birds. I mean, they're dinosaurs. So, I mean, he doesn't eat one poison rat. He has to eat 30, 40, 50 poison rats to die. But if their dog eats that poison rat, urine for a 6,000 rand vessel, and that's if the dog survives. Mm. Or the kids.
Or your cat,
And there's little bait stations that you see everywhere. Mm. I mean, it's you kill everything. It's not only you're killing all the local wildlife, all the little mongooses, everything that eats a rat. Your snakes are all going to die from it.
I know we're running out of time, but I have to ask this quickly. I've seen a product. I'm not going to mention the name.
Yeah.
Advertised as saying that it's owl friendly. That it's a rat poison.
Yes.
But it doesn't harm any other animals.
I won't say the
true
product.
True or false?
But does it start with the R?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
No, it's false. It's a multi-feed poison. So instead of a poison like two-step, which is Aldicarb, which is like you eat it, you die.
Right.
This product is a multi-feed, so it's just a lower dosage. Ah. So you've got to eat more of it. You got to eat more of the product before it will
affect owls.
It does kill rats, granted, it does. But it also kills anything that eats
anything
it.
Anything that eats it.
Now, poison is
poison.
We've been fighting with the manufacturers of those poisons for years, but it's a billion-dollar industry, so yeah.
Yeah, sure. Brandon, before we run out of time, how can people get involved? Have you got a website address? How can they volunteer or come and stay at your wonderful lodge?
Well, we're on, I think most of your listeners are on Facebook, so they can just Google Owl Rescue Center. We're on Facebook.
And you're on Twitter. I was very impressed.
Yes.
At Owl Rescue.
Hey? At Owl Rescue. So they can just send us a message and come and visit us. Yeah.
Fantastic. Wonderful.
Before we let everyone go, we must announce the winner of our competition. And I'm proud to say that it's someone who said they love Animal Central.
Yes.
So, Sharon, do you want to announce the winner?
Yes. This is Parbashni, who is Subramani. She is actually in, I'm looking at this address, Nagina. I'm not sure where that is. I haven't heard of that subject. But well done, Parbashni. You have won this awesome cell phone.
Yeah, Samsung.
Thank
S4.
You for liking Animal Central. The
I told
Samsung
you, if
S4.
You said that show, you had more.
Yeah, you see, and there you go. She's got it. So what does she do from here? Is somebody going to get hold of her?
Yes, no. Dari has got all her details. That's our content manager, and they will send it through to her.
Oh, and we're running out of time, but we've got this question now.
Yeah.
How do owls relocate? How do you relocate owls in the event of a bushfire?
Well, you've got to get them. You've got to get that phone call. And we do get a lot of phone calls. People say there's a fire. I've got grass owls. I've got marsh owls. These are owls that nest on the ground. Adult owls are just going to fly away.
Yes.
But juvenile owls, obviously, they can't fly away. You've got to get out there and go and look and for the nest owl and go and find them. Yeah.
Okay. Andy, we had a few more go. Another question, but we've run out of time. Brandon, thank you so much for being with us. Next week, we're back on reptiles, which is going to be very interesting.
I hope we're going to get some in.
Yes, we are. We definitely are going to have some reptiles. So until we're back next week, give all your dogs, cats, and other animals big hugs from us. Bye for now.
CliffCentral.com